Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Good morning. Welcome to St. Timothy. I'm glad to see you all. Sorry if it's getting a little chillier outside, and so the windows, I'll just say that if you're starting to get cold, it might be best to start bringing your jacket inside. But today is a good day. Today is the last Sunday of the church year, and so we're wrapping up the church year as we know it, and the next week will be the beginning of Advent into the new church year. And so we remember that today. A few quick things before we begin, because everything that's happened last week with governors laying down these orders, today we won't actually be singing in worship. We won't be able to do that. So we'll have Christina and Gary decide he would be helpful. He volunteered to help to kind of bring more music and accompaniment to the hymns that we'll be meditating on and reading through the words, and if you like, maybe even humming along, but we won't be actually singing. I just wanted to make that known. Also, today is our LWML Mites, and those, of course, are back there. I don't think I have anything else beforehand, but we'll begin with listening to our first hymn and meditating on the words on our first page. Almighty God, merciful Father,
I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserved your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being.
Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office, as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God to all of you. And in the stead, and by the command of our Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We continue with the psalm from Psalm 95. O come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come into his presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to him with songs of praise. For the Lord is a great God, and a great King above all gods. In his hand are the depths of the earth. The heights of the mountains are his also. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, and the sheep of his hand.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
Lord, have mercy upon us.
Christ, have mercy upon us. Lord, have mercy upon us.
The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Let us pray. Eternal God, merciful Father, you have appointed your Son as judge of the living and the dead. Enable us to wait for the day of his return with our eyes fixed on the kingdom prepared for your own from the foundation of the world. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated. Our Old Testament lesson comes from Ezekiel chapter 34, selected verses. For thus says the Lord God, Behold, I myself will search for my sheep and will seek them out. As a shepherd seeks out his flock when he is among his sheep that have been scattered, so will I seek out my sheep, and I will rescue them from all places where they have been scattered on a day of clouds and thick darkness. And I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries, and will bring them into their own land. And I will feed them on the mountains of Israel, by the ravenous and in the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them with good pasture, and on the mountain heights of Israel shall be their grazing land. There they shall lie down in good grazing land, and on rich pasture they shall feed upon the mountains of Israel. I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep, and I myself will make them lie down, declares the Lord God. I will seek the lost, and I will bring back the strayed, and I will bind up the injured, and I will strengthen the weak, and the fat and the strong I will destroy. I will feed them in justice. Therefore, thus says the Lord God to them, Behold, I myself will judge between the fat sheep and the lean sheep, because you push with side and shoulder, and thrust at all the weak with your horns, till you have scattered them abroad. I will rescue my flock. They shall no longer be a prey, and I will judge between sheep and sheep, and I will set over them one shepherd, my servant David, and he shall feed them. He shall feed them and be their shepherd, and I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David shall be prince among them. I am the Lord, I have spoken. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our epistle lesson comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And Paul writes, But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For as by a man came death, by a man has come also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive. But each in his own order. Christ the first fruits, then at his coming those who belong to Christ. Then comes the end. When he delivers the kingdom to God, he, the Father, after destroying every rule and every authority and power. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. For God has put all things in subjection under his feet. But when it says all things are put in subjection, it is plain that he is accepted who put all things in subjection under him. When all things are subjected to him, then the Son himself will also be subjected to him who put all things in subjection under him, that God may be all in all. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please stand. We speak the Alleluias together. Alleluia.
Alleluia.
Alleluia. Like the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 25th chapter.
Glory to thee, O Lord.
Jesus said, when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. Before him will be gathered all the nations, and he will separate people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will place the sheep on his right, but the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty and gave me drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you? And the king will answer them, truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers, you did it to me. Then he will say to those on his left, depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food, thirsty, and gave me no drink, a stranger, and you did not welcome me. I was naked, and you did not clothe me, sick and in prison, and you did not visit me. And then they will answer also, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry, thirsty, a stranger, naked, sick, or in prison, and did not minister to you? Then he will answer them, saying, truly I say to you, as you did not do it to me, to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to thee, O Christ.
We continue by confessing our Christian faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth.
I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Please be seated. We continue meditating and reflecting on the hymn, The King of Love, My Shepherd.
Thank you. really not a lot of fun to not be able to sing, but hopefully it's fulfilling to listen to music and look at the words and maybe think about things. One of those things that I have trouble with Thanksgiving coming this Thursday, being thankful for not being able to sing. But that's a question we're asking ourselves, I guess, this week, right? Thanksgiving is Thursday, and usually, as a tradition, I know in my family, and I sense in a lot of other people's, you usually ask the question around the table, what are you thankful for? If you haven't asked yourself already, or you'll ask the question, maybe not on a table surrounded by family, but over a video chat call as you are eating your food, what are you thankful for? I'm sure we all will muster up some good news, a piece of happiness and joy from throughout the year. But I know for me it's often overshadowed by the bad news of 2020. Overshadowed because it seems that there was not a lot of good news this year. Hopefully on Thanksgiving Day, you won't dwell on the missed opportunities or the bad news that seemed to surround our year. But unfortunately, those tidbits, those difficult pills to swallow will dwell, and even in a small way. You feel it. You feel it only when you communicate with your family online through the video chats. You feel that bad news on those days that are relatively normal and you feel like you're just doing the things you regularly do, but then you're struck by the reality when you forget to bring your mask into the grocery store and have to go back. When it comes to Thanksgiving, it may feel like the list of things to be thankful for continue to shorten. While there are many things we took for granted that take the rise to the occasion of being grateful for, it still doesn't diminish the bad news weighing on our hearts. We do a thing in our men's group, and I asked Gary, and the ladies' group does it too. Many of you are pretty familiar with it. We have a moment where those two groups, once we meet, we do this thing every time, and we talk about our highs and our lows. We'll go around the room, and each of us will bring up something good that is going on and include something, well, that could be better. The bad news going on in our life. Essentially, we take a moment to remember individually the things we are thankful for and the things that still need to be worked on. I think it's a really great thing to do. It's a great practice because as much as it is good to remember the things we're thankful for and show our gratefulness, it's also necessary to remember the things that still cause us pain and suffering. Because they're real. We shouldn't try to whitewash or cover up the pain that looms. If we pretend they don't exist, then we won't be able to handle the mess. Nor will we be able to truly be thankful for the gifts that we do have. And that's what we're here to do this morning. You could say we're going to think about our highs and lows. I want you to think about your highs and lows. As I've been mentioning the last couple weeks, we're coming to the end of the church year. Today is the last Sunday of the church year, and liturgically, we are finishing up our exploration of the Gospel of Matthew. And so Advent 1 and into the next year, the Gospel of Mark will be the focus of each reading each week. But today, at the end of the church year, at the end of the last Sunday, Christ's final words to us in the Gospel of Matthew are not the end of Matthew, but it's his talk and his explanation of the final day, the final judgment. The day when the Son of Man, Jesus Christ, and all of the angels with him, around his throne, and all of creation gathered to him. This is the final moment. The final day when the living and the dead will be brought before the throne and all the nations. All the people who have ever lived on earth are gathered before the King. And that's the way our story begins. And like a shepherd, the King separates the sheep from the goats. The sheep on his right and the goats on his left. There's a clear separation. The shepherd is dealing with two different kinds of species. But as we find out, one group is among the righteous, and then, of course, the other is among the wicked. Those who are placed on high and those who will be brought low. They're different not only in who they are, sheep and goats, but also in the way that they conducted themselves. That's how the king distinguishes them. The righteous feed, clothe, and welcome the brothers of the king. Even the least of them, the sheep have welcomed. But the wicked naturally did not provide for the brothers of the king in the same way. So the king invites the righteous into eternal blessings of the Father's reign, tells them why they're in, hears their clarifying question, and responds in explanation. The wicked, we see a mirror opposite of what happens. There's good news for the sheep, but bad news for the goats. Even on the last day, the final judgment, there is intense joy of the restoration as the king welcomes the sheep, but certainly a moment of sober, harsh reality. Many of us know how this text goes. We must have heard this text 100 times, at least I know I have. But if not, many of us can kind of pretty confidently say what is going on, what Jesus is saying here. On the final day, God will separate between the Christians who cared for the weak and the most vulnerable. The people declared righteous are the ones who took their call from God seriously and obeyed his commands and lived in a Mother Teresa-like fashion, giving up all their own comforts and benefit for the weakest on earth. Those who do not do this and seek their own glory, or turn away the hungry and the naked, the poor and the prisoner, are among the wicked. It's simple as that. At least that's typically how we see this text go. Well, what if I told you that's not what Jesus had in mind, or Matthew? At least in context of what's going on and what we've talked about already and what Matthew has written and what Jesus is saying. The final judgment is not about social ministry. At least that's not what Jesus is talking about here. To be sure, Christians, as Christians, yes, we're called to love and look after the vulnerable, to feed the hungry, to provide for the weak, to clothe the naked. We should be giving, loving, feeding, and caring for the stranger, for the sick and the imprisoned. And we do those things because we're Christians. But here in Matthew, we're focused on the end and on the final judgment and on what separates the sheep from the goats. Because if we're honest with ourselves, you might notice that there are many people, even in our place, northern Seattle and in the Snohomish region, in which many non-Christians and even atheists or unchurched groups serve and love the most vulnerable. And many who tend to the poor and homeless in our community, to the downtrodden and marginalized. And sometimes they do a better job than us. And they let us know about it. But in many ways, they're right. We who claim to love and to clothe, who feed, to give, we don't do a great job at showing love. And that's a topic for us on another time. But Jesus in this section is concerned with the final judgment, the last day. For if Jesus was talking about the other notion, then the righteous and the wicked would have been involved with the other sheep and goats. But Jesus is saying, you did these things toward my brothers. It's about the king's brothers. How one receives, treats, or cares for the king's brothers. The king doesn't say sheep or goats, he says brothers. That is the concern on the final judgment. Yes, Christians love, and Christians are the ones who care for the least, for the poor and the homeless, the weak and the vulnerable. It's part of the call to make sure that those types of things are taken care of. But to show love is not anything uniquely Christian. But here, how do you receive the brothers of the king? Jesus is teaching about the judgment on the last day, and it reveals that all humanity will be divided based on how they have responded to the brothers. And the brothers are those who proclaim the gospel message of the reign of God. The good news is what separates the sheep from the goats. Because the sheep hears and listens to the shepherd's voice, and the king's brothers are the bringers of the message. The message of Jesus Christ and his incarnation, his ministry, his work, his crucifixion, resurrection, to bring about the culmination of God's kingdom and to begin the reign and rule of God on earth, the restoration of all things. The brothers are those who speak the word of God and Jesus Christ. And in a specific and direct way, we can see that being the pastors, missionaries, and church workers that come to mind. And that's where Jesus leads his disciples to understand these passages on the final judgment. And for us, certainly, that truth comes to us. Yet we can take this message a step further to see that anyone who carries Christ's message, who carries the gospel, who gives us the good news, who lives the reign of God in their lives, anyone, even they, are counted among the brothers. So here's the high and the low. Many people receive the good news of Jesus Christ and trust in the word that God speaks. But there are some who hear, some who are provided with a messenger, and they do not receive it. 2020 is a year and time that seems like very little good news is happening. If you remember back in the early days, I don't know if you do a lot of online stuff, but the actor from The Office and from other things, John Krasinski, he did a weekly YouTube show called Some Good News. He did that for a few weeks, and it went on just highlighting pleasant events and joys in the midst of all the confusion and chaos. And it was during that same time when we as God's people experienced a separation from the church in a way that we've never had gone through. We couldn't be in God's house to receive the message and guidance of Jesus Christ. And even now, 8 months later, it's harder and harder to find some good news. The YouTube show is gone, for the most part. And we think about our highs and our lows. And we can muster up some highs that we have taken for granted, some good blessings and gifts that still surprise us, but all too often it seems like the lows outweigh the good. We could use some good news. At the end of the day, at the end, the final judgment is all about the good news. The good news is really what makes the end so great. Yes, we see Jesus' words cut like a sharp knife as we recognize that we haven't lived up to our potential or received the message with the zeal that we should have. But what makes the end so great is that you are counted among the sheep. You receive the good news from the messengers. And the messengers in Christ and what he says, that to the least of these you served me, because Christ is so close to the message that is given that it is Christ himself you receive. That's why we always need those human voices who, because they speak the word of Jesus faithfully, become Christ's own external certain word for you. It's about the good news that they have brought to us, our friends and our family, our pastors and our missionaries, but certainly the ones that are closest to us, who give to us that message of Christ in our lives. It may not be a direct proclamation of absolution like we do here, even though I'm certain there might be times when you need to offer Christ forgiveness. But when Jesus Christ's story and the mission is brought before you, shown in his actions and love of a brother or a sister, it is the simple act of clothing, feeding, and welcoming the stranger who carries Christ in their heart. It's faith in what they have said and what the Lord has promised. To remember the end is more than about God's final judgment. But to remember the consummation is to be reminded that we do not know when it will come. But when it comes, you will be counted among the sheep, among the righteous, the sons and daughters of God. Because you see, if we forget to be thankful for the message that has been brought to us, we can forget what it is we have been given to do. We can think that the world doesn't matter, because if we are just waiting for our soul to go to heaven, we forget that the resurrection of the body includes our bodies. The restoration of creation includes this world. If our hope of Christ's return fades, well, we can get discouraged and we can pull back. But you are counted among Christ's sheep. Because even in the midst of bad news and the low points, you are blessed to look for the return of Jesus Christ. It is Jesus Christ whose return you long for. Even though the Lord is with us in the messengers, in the table that we'll soon receive in his body and blood, there is a very real sense in which he is not with us. Because he's gone away on a journey and he's delaying. He's with us in his promises through the promised means of baptism, of the Lord's Supper, of the words. But promises require faith. And there's often, so often, still no sight. The day of his full presence is coming, and then it will be sight. To be thankful for the end is not to be thankful for things to be over. Even though it'd certainly be great when all this stuff around COVID, when we can sing again, when sin and evil is over. But to be thankful for the end is really to be thankful for the beginning. And I think C.S. Lewis, of course, describes it best. I like him a lot, if you can't tell. It's at the end of the Chronicles of Narnia series, The Last Battle. And Lewis writes these final words because Lucy, Peter, and Edmund, they've realized they've died. And Lewis writes first as Aslan. And he says, "The term is over. The holidays have begun. The dream is ended. This is the morning." And as Aslan spoke, he no longer looked to them like a lion. But the things that began to happen after that were so great and beautiful that I cannot write them. And for us, this is the end of all the stories, and we can most truly say that they all lived happily ever after. But for them, it was only the beginning of the real story. All their life in this world and all their adventures in Narnia had only been the cover and the title page. Now at last, they were beginning the chapter one of the great story, which no one on earth has read, which goes on forever, in which every chapter is better than the one before. That is the story you're a part of. Jesus Christ is who you belong to. You are still working on the title page and the cover, an important part of every good story. Continue to illustrate Christ's story in your lives. And on that last day, when the King returns, the great story will begin and you'll be in it. That's something to be thankful for. In Christ's name, amen. We continue with the next hymn as we continue our meditation and thinking.
Thank you.
Please stand for prayer. Almighty God, we pray for the faithful proclamation of Christ our King, and for the strengthening of God's people in this true faith, and their baptismal life in Christ. Merciful God, hear our prayer. Heavenly Father, watch over the people of St. Timothy, for the mission and work you have given us to do, and for the unity of the Spirit and a spirit of cooperation and harmony in our life together. Merciful God, hear our prayer.
Gracious God, we pray for those who have wandered from the flock, for faithful shepherds who gather them through the voice of your word, for our forgiveness, and for our willingness to forgive others in Christ's name. Merciful God, hear our prayer.
Almighty Creator, be with those afflicted by illness of body or mind, and for those who care for them, especially Major, Wayne, Sanda, Pastor Fleth, Joyce, Sharon, Sylvia, Thurza, Alex, Debbie, Bella, Ava, Esther, and Emily. With the strength only you can give, care for them through patience and deliver them to your promises found in Jesus Christ. Merciful God, hear our prayer.
Holy God, we pray for a right reception of Christ's true body and blood, for a grace to use well what we receive here in Christ's name, and for the day when no provision will hinder our community together at the Lord's altar. Merciful God, hear our prayer.
Gracious God, we enter this week of thanksgiving sometimes with little to thank for. Open our eyes to see the greatness of your love for us and the joy it is to be your child. Give us a spirit of thanksgiving, even when it seems there is nothing going our way. Let us recognize and be grateful for what is right in front of us, and share that attitude with others around us. We especially remember those who will be separated and isolated from gathering due to various circumstances. Let us be your tools to bring your love to people removed from gatherings and keep them connected to your body, the church. Particularly, we pray for Barbara, Millie, Sylvia, Gertrude, Mary, Thurza and Jim, and Alex. Assure them of your promises in Jesus Christ, that you are always with them. Merciful God, hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, we ask for a giving spirit, that we may not neglect the poor, nor fail to provide resources to the church to fulfill the divinity and spread the gospel to every place. Merciful God, hear our prayer.
Lord God, Heavenly Father, we remember the sufferings and death of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, for our salvation. Praising his victorious resurrection from the dead, we draw strength from his ascension before you, where he ever stands for us as our own high priest. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers. Deliver and preserve us, for to you alone we give all glory, honor, and worship. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever, world without end.
Amen.
We continue with the service of the sacrament. The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is meet and right so to do.
It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should in all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, Everlasting God. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who out of love for his fallen creation, humbled himself by taking on the form of a servant, becoming obedient unto death, even death upon a cross. Risen from the dead, he has freed us from eternal death and given us life everlasting. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Holy, 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 Lord God of Sabaoth, heaven and earth are full of thy glory. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna, Hosanna.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in the remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper, and after he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of all your sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen.
Amen.
We speak together the Angus on his day.
O Christ, thou Lamb of God, that takest away the sin of the world, have mercy on us. O Christ, thou Lamb of God, that takest away the sin of the world, have mercy on us. O Christ, thou Lamb of God, that takest away the sin of the world, grant us thy peace. Amen.
Please be seated. Has been our custom the last, well, ever since this has been going on. We'll begin on this side with communion, and then we'll move on to that side. So.
Thank you.
Please stand. Now may this, the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you in the body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in his peace. Amen. We continue speaking the Nunc Dimittis, found on page 9. Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For my eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good.
And his mercy endureth forever.
Let us pray.
We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Bless we the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with his favor and give you peace.
Amen.
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 We continue with the last hymn, The Tithe and Cross. Please be seated.
Good morning.
Good morning.